right, go back with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Ecclesiastes 1. I'm not sure just yet what book we will go to for the Bible study. We just finished Romans last Sunday, and I'm just not sure. Might not know for a little while, but I am praying about, and I'm really enjoying reading through Ecclesiastes. And if that's the way the Lord would lead us to go, then we would really benefit from it. It is so wise. I mean, all of the Word of God is able to make thee wise, but wise counsel and such a wise book. Either way, I felt led to declare the summary of Ecclesiastes. There's a point to this book, and there's a lot of wise things in here. Solomon was inspired by God, given more wisdom than any man. And he has some wise things to say in here. And we would be wise to heed them and listen to them and obey them. But there is a point to this book. There is a conclusion to the matter. At the end of this book, he says, here's the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Fear God. And keep His commandments. Hold to and cling to and look to and love His commandments. And this summary, the message of Ecclesiastes and the message of this entire book is in the first four verses. And this is what he's saying through the whole thing. So what I want to do tonight is look at the message of the book tonight and realize that everything he has to say is from this. He's saying this. All right. Ecclesiastes 1 through 4 says, the words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. Now, who is saying this? The title right there, you see it in your Bible, it says Ecclesiastes, and that word means the preacher. That's what the word means. And Solomon, the son of David, he was the son of David, and he was king in Jerusalem. He was a preacher. And he did physically write this book. He penned this book. Verse 1 says, the words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. But here is what 2 Peter 1 verse 20 says. It says, no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. And verse 21 goes on to say, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. All right, they were moved. Solomon wrote this, and he was moved by the Spirit of God to write this. Our Lord said, these Scriptures are they which testify of me. Every one of them. And in John chapter 1 and in Revelation 19, both of those places say that the name of our Lord is called the Word of God. His name is the Word of God. He is the Word of God. And this Word is all about Him. Every bit of it. It's all about Him. Matthew 4:17 says, from that time Jesus began to preach. and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. These are the words of the preacher. The preacher. The son of David himself. Isn't that what the Lord is called? The son of David. King in Jerusalem. That's who wrote this. That's who said every bit of this. Our Lord is a preacher. I cannot wait. I personally cannot wait to physically hear the preacher. I just can't wait. Who is sufficient for these things? I can tell you that I am not. I am not. I think of a lot of men who I would much rather be sitting and listening to right now. But one of these days, necessity is laid on me right now, but one of these days I'm going to get to sit in the pew and I'm going to get to hear the preacher forever. I can't wait. I just cannot wait. I was able to go to Mexico one time. I've been able to go one time. And when I was down there, Brother Cody Groover's Bible was sitting on the coffee table in his house. And it's in Spanish. So I was just curious to see if I could recognize any of the Spanish words. That's all I wanted to see. So I thought of a text that I knew the words well, and I thought of Psalm 23. And I found, finally, how they were, you know. And I went to Psalm 23, and in Spanish, Psalm 23, verse 1 says, Jehovah es mi pastor. As soon as I saw that, I thought, yes, he is. The Lord is my shepherd. Jehovah is my pastor. He's the pastor. And one of these days, it's going to be for all eternity, but one of these days, we are going to physically get to watch God step up into the pulpit. And he's going to open his word. Because one word's not going to fail. And we're going to open this word and we're going to hear the pastor. We're going to hear the preacher preach. Can you imagine? Every word he says, we're going to say, oh, my heart is burning within me. He's going to flood his spirit every time. You know how we beg for it? Oh, we beg for it. I've been driving over here begging for it. Lord, please send your spirit. Please don't let me stand up there by myself. Let me stand there with your spirit. He's going to send it every time. Every single time. I can't wait. I just cannot wait. We're going to listen to the preacher preach, and we're going to say the half wasn't told. I like Gabe. He's a nice guy, but he didn't tell the half. He didn't scratch the surface. Never did he scratch the surface. We're all going to sit there and we're going to hear things that are not possible for a man's mouth to utter. That's what the word says. When the Lord caught Paul, he brought Saul up to the third heaven. Saul sat there and he listened to the preacher preach. He learned the gospel through the preacher. The requirement of an apostle. And he listened to the preacher preach and he said, I'm telling you, I heard things that are not possible for a man's mouth to utter. Samuel said, speak, Lord. That's what I want tonight. Lord, speak to us. Speak to us. Verse 1 says, the words of the preacher, the son of David, that's Christ, king in Jerusalem, that's Christ. Verse 2 says, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Our Lord Jesus Christ has told us through this word that if you don't have Christ, you don't have anything. You don't have anything. Vanity means empty. That's what it means. It's just empty. It's all empty. And I'm telling you, it is all empty. outside of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem, everything outside of him is empty. It is so, so empty. I don't care what a man has. If he does not have Christ, he does not have anything. He does not have anything. If Donald Trump does not have Christ, he does not have... He owns what? Half of New York? I don't know what he owns. But if he does not have Christ, I'm telling you, he does not have anything. When I thought of him, I thought of Steve Jobs. That man just died not long ago. And if that man left this world, he's the Apple guy, Apple technology. If that man left this world without Christ, he left this world with nothing. I mean, nothing. He left this world empty with nothing to show. I've been referring to men like that for a long time now. Bill Gates, he's been around for a long time. And I don't wish any evil on anybody. I wish Bill Gates could hear this. I wish somehow through the internet, Bill Gates could hear this. I wish he could hear, Mr. Gates, if you don't have Christ, you don't have anything. I mean, you just don't have anything. I wish everybody could hear this. I wish the owner of the Eastman Corporation, all the way down to the newest hire, the lowest employee, I wish every person could hear that if you don't have Christ, you don't have anything. You just don't have anything. But if you have Christ, man, if you have Christ, Donald Trump thinks he's seen riches. He thinks he has. I'd love to have the opportunity to tell him about, I can't describe it. The half couldn't be told, but I'd love to have the opportunity to tell him about the unsearchable riches of Christ. The unsearchable. If God ever revealed to him the unsearchable riches of Christ, he would rend his clothes. That's what he would do. And he would pour ashes on his head and he would start crying, woe is me. I'm undone. I'm undone. I'm vile. I'm low. I think I'll lay my hand over my mouth. It's all vanity. Vanity of vanities. That's what he would cry. Vanity of vanities. Verse 1 says, the words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? What good are a man's works? What good are a man's works? You know, I mean, we're gathered here looking into things of eternity, the eternal state of our soul. What role does man's works play in this? If he's going to leave this world empty, if a man is going to leave this world empty, and he is, Job said, naked came I into the world and naked I'm leaving it. If he's going to leave this world empty, what good are a man's works? Are they going to save a soul? No. Go with me to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, verse 34 says, and when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall it profit a man? Back over in Ecclesiastes 1, verse 3 says, what profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? His works will not do one thing for his eternal soul. And I'm not going to even go into, should a man work hard? The scriptures are very clear on that. Should a man work hard? Should he provide for his family? Our Lord said if he doesn't, he's worse than an unbeliever, worse than an infidel. Work while there's 12 hours in a day. But our works will not do one thing for our eternal soul. So, you know, the question would be asked, well, even so, there's got to be some good in a man's earthly works. It has to account for something, right? Go over to Proverbs 21 with me. Proverbs 21, verse 4 says, a high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin. All right, now do you see the word plowing? I have a margin right there, and mine says the light. So I thought that meant something other than plowing, so I looked it up in our concordance, and it means tilling the dirt. Plowing the field. What he's saying right here is, outside of Christ, a man who is just plowing in his own field is absolute sin in the eyes of God. Well, at least he's a good, hard-working man. I think that's wonderful. But we're talking about the eternal state of our soul. And the man who's just out there plowing in his field, God says it's sin. And it's because he's not doing it as unto the Lord. He's not acknowledging this is the Lord's land. He's not doing it giving thanks to God. He's not. Giving thanks for the knowledge he has and the skill that he has and the ability that he has, the health that he has. And he's not doing it for the good of God's sheep. He's not doing it for the glory and good of God's sheep. He's doing it for self. Everything about it is for self. And God says it's sin. Back over to Ecclesiastes 1, verse 1 says, the words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh. Men enter this world, and they leave this world without having bettered themselves, truly bettered themselves, one bit. One generation comes, another generation goes. One goes, one comes. A man can do nothing of himself. All his works are empty. They are all useless. They're all damning. But there is a man, the man, the preacher, the son of David, the one that all of this is about. When Solomon said, everything here is vanity, but he said, fear God. There is one thing that is not vanity. There is one thing that is needful. What profit hath the man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? Everything man did since day one was vanity. It was sin. So the man came. the preacher came and he did something that completely restored everything that was lost. He filled every single thing that was empty. God the Father said, "Behold my servant, he shall not fail." The works that he is going to accomplish, that he's going to perform, he will not fail. He will not fail. And God the Son said in John 17, "Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee." He said, "I have glorified thee on the earth, and I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." I am empty. I am weakness, full of weakness. I'm empty. I'm nothing but vanity. Everything that I am, everything I do, everything I touch is vexation of spirit. If it involves me, it's just vexation of spirit. I can't preach, but I go home and my soul is vexed. Everything I do is vexation of spirit. Christ did a work, though, that covers every bit of that. When I go home, there's something that I know has been done that has replenished and refilled everything I have ruined. All of my works have ruined everything. Christ came and did a work that put it all back. He put every bit of it back. He said, "Those that thou gavest me, I have kept them in my blood. None of them is lost, not one." Was there any profit in his labor? Verse 4 right here says, "One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh." Paul said, "I am crucified with Christ. I passed away." Well, did you hear? He passed away. Paul said, "Yet I live." Another generation came. In Adam, all die. In the first Adam, old things are passed away. But in the second Adam, in Christ, it says, all things are become new. In Adam, we're nothing but vanity of vanities. But in Christ, we are a brand new creature. Brand new. And the result of a profitable labor, a profitable work. Verse 4 says, "One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever." Now, we know that this earth is not going to abide forever. It's going to melt with a fervent heat. But our Lord said, "I create a new heaven and a new earth, a brand new earth, and it's going to abide forever." This phrase, I looked up, "abideth forever." It's in the Word of God 5 times. One of them is right here. And the other 4 times tell us the result of the preacher's work. The result of this message of his work. Let me show you those 4 and then we'll close. Psalm 125. Because Christ has replenished everything we lost, everything that was ruined. Psalm 125, verse 1 says, "They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever." His kingdom will stand sure, and it's never going to be removed. Mount Zion cannot be removed. It's going to abide forever. Now the next one is in John 12. John 12, verse 34 says, "The people answered him, 'We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever.'" And then they went on to say, how sayest thou that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Well, that's the work he accomplished that secured forever, secured eternity. Christ himself will stand sure, and he will never be removed. His kingdom, God himself, are going to abide forever. Go over to 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter 1, look at verse 23. It says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Because Christ was victorious in his work, his word will stand sure. And it'll never be removed. Never. Everything other than his word is going to turn out to be vanity, but not his word. I hope I can get that. I am asking the Lord to bless this to my heart, our hearts. And I want to learn that everything is vanity. Everything is vanity. Christ is all. And his kingdom is going to stand forever. So, Lord, take my mind out of this world. And Christ himself is going to stand forever. So, Lord, take my mind out of this world. Take my mind off of myself and put it on Christ. And his word is going to stand forever. So, Lord, don't let me listen to anything else. Don't let me cling to anything else. Let me cling to this word. Here's the last one. Go to 1 John chapter 2. First John 2, verse 17 says, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Every soul that sees everything in this life to be vanity of vanities, and Christ to be all in all, that soul will stand sure and never be removed ever. He will abide forever. That's what the whole book of Ecclesiastes is telling us. Man at his best state is altogether vanity, just empty, nothing. But the man or woman who is in Christ, man at his best state is nothing. But the man who's in his state will abide forever. Thank God for the preacher. Thank God for his message. Thank God for his work. All right, let's stand together.